In my bucket, I've got the realistic. For me, it's a movie like The Strangers. It's a movie like Scream that you can really practically put in a sense of like, this could actually happen.
I want to take us on a little side quest.
Goku's one of the greatest anime heroes of all time. He's badass. He's awesome.
Dude, hands down, Final Fantasy VII wins every day.
How could you not love the Mario Brothers movie?
RoboCop kicks everyone else's ass.
And that's why Superman sucks.
Oh, the Velociraptors kick ass in Jurassic Park every single day.
Oop, went on a bit of a rant there, huh?
Welcome back, ladies and gentle nerds. This is a very special Halloween edition of the SideQuest podcast. Thank you so much for joining us on this Friday. It's getting extra spooky here. We've got a lot of fun main quests to talk about. We're going to jump back into memory lane, talking about some growing up Halloween trick-or-treating. We're going to talk about what makes for some really good scary movies. We're going to talk about haunted houses, spook trails, hayrides, all that fun stuff and more. So joining me on this very fun Halloween edition episode is none other than my spooky boys, Justin and Jeff. I can't wait. How are we today?
Spooky.
Spooky. Okay.
Very spooky feeling.
Good.
This guy's got this
time of year. We got this, it's Friday, and we got 2 full days of Halloween shenanigans, back to back. Couldn't ask for more.
So true. Justin, how extra spooky are you today?
They're crawling up every orifice and just making the scares real for me.
Oh boy. R rated already. I love it. Well, let's jump into our first main quest of the evening. I want to know, boys, growing up, let's, lay back down on the chair. Let's, dig deep. I want to know some of your fondest Halloween trick-or-treating memories. What do you guys remember about the funness of this day and weekend from growing up? Justin, let's start with you.
So I've got a very vivid memory from when I was maybe 7 years old. And I probably talked about this on the podcast before, but my mother, she bought an extra carton of eggs on Halloween and she put it in the fridge and she said, just in case you need it. And so I learned that Halloween, I was about the tricks, not so much about the treats from a very young age. And we always egged houses and teepeed houses and bullied kids and stole their candy. We were classic.
You're like one of the two guys from Hocus Pocus, you know, just bullying the kids, stealing their candy. Nice. Hey, that's a fun way of going about it. Why not?
Jeff, blame my mom.
Hey, thanks, Justin's mom. We appreciate it. He made him the man he is today. Jeff, you, sir, how was your Halloween trick-or-treating growing up?
I mean, I remember a lot of stuff just from around, you know, Halloween day and stuff. It was us going to your parents' house. I mean, that's what we did when we were little. Went to your parents' house and they had the whole, you know, Halloween spooky party. We'd get in our stupid costumes, be like, we're going to go out. And then we ran around and terrorized Carol's stream.
Yeah.
And then sometimes when we got older, then after we did that, we come back over to my area because when it's unincorporated, for some reason, we got to stay out later. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
Then we went around kind of by me because where I'm at, it's just all like woods and there's only like a few houses on the street. It's not like, you know, the best place to trick or treat. So, I remember the school march at Evergreen?
Oh, God.
We'd have to march to the school in our costume when we were like in grade school and just like, hey, and all the parents would come and you'd be like in this fucking stupid costume.
There he is. There's my boy.
Yeah. You know, Halloween's all, we've always had good memories, at least for us growing up. It was always like a big thing since I can remember. And that was like what we did. Went to your house and then, you know, closer when we got even older, then we did the spook trail right like the day before Halloween.
Right. Yeah, so create our own spook trail.
And then we still go, you know, I'm not sure if your dad's doing it again this year, but if he is, I might pop on by.
Yeah, I totally agree. That that really hit the nail on the head, because growing up, it was, you know, out in the burbs, just getting your big pillowcase, or, you know, depending on how old you were, like the little, yeah, the little fucking pumpkin, like the plastic pumpkin with the face on it. But yeah, dressing up every year, no doubt. I would not miss a beat. And then it got to that age where it was like, I don't even know, maybe eighth grade, seventh or eighth grade, where it was like, okay, we're at that like crossroads of like, do we still go out? We're definitely not that cool, but we're kind of cool. So it was fun. I mean, just going out, staying out as late as we could. I feel bad for kids nowadays, because trick-or-treating's like from 3 to 7 and people don't get home from work until 5 or 6. So it's like, hey, here's 2 candy bars and we're closed for the night. Like, that's a huge bummer. I remember at least, you know, it was like 3 to 8 or 9, maybe 9 o'clock. And then you're right, we would go over to the unincorporated, because people over there either A, still had their lights on, or B, like, still wanted to hand out candy. So we'd be ringing doorbells till 10, 11 o'clock at night and like getting huge hauls of candy.
See, I don't understand that, because when I was a kid, when I was 7, 8, 6 years old, you didn't go out until the sun went down.
Yeah. I mean, you bring up a good point. Yeah.
There was none of this 3 to 7 bullshit. It was, okay, it's dark out, let's go.
Yes.
Time to trick or treat and terrorize. And it brings me to my first side quest, because I went trick or treating. I actually have a very great trick or treating story that I haven't shared on the podcast, and I don't think either of you fully know it. But first side quest is, what is the best Halloween haul that you've gotten? Whether it be from youth to maybe you were too old to be trick-or-treating and some creepy old man gave you something he shouldn't have.
I mean, from a volume standpoint, I remember probably 5th or 6th grade was like the peak, where I was like gung-ho filling up. Like, my goal that year was to get as much fucking candy as I could. So I had a pillowcase. I ran out to every house I could, and I actually came back about 2 hours later, switched costumes, and went back out for the same lap around. So I had 2 full pillowcases full by the time it was done, and it was awesome. I mean, big size candy bars, old men handing out like coins, like dollar coins, which was cool. So yeah, I just have vivid memory. And I think one of the places, actually, one of the houses handed out one of those flavor pops, like the ice pops, which was kind of weird, because it was like, okay, cool. By the time I got home, it was already melted. So that happened. Probably poison in there. Glad I didn't eat it. But yeah, no, I just remember like 5th or 6th grade was like my best year ever. And then it was just downhill from there.
Gosh, Jeff, do you have?
Probably the same. I mean, I agree with Eric. That was back when we took it super seriously. And you just, you'd bounce as many houses as possible, push over all the little kids and just go, go, go. And then there was one year where, God, I'm trying to remember. I think like we dressed up as Neos or something from the Matrix. And then we went to the neighborhoods like behind my house where they were just giving out full candy bars because there's not a lot of kids that come by.
Yeah.
So you'd really clean up with them. And that was great. You just get a full on like Three Musketeer, one of those like Twix with like 4 Twix in it, and you're like, yes!
Fuck yeah! Like, got him! Justin, what about you?
So I've got 2 great Halloween stories to tell.
Ooh, yeah.
The first was when I was 16, we were trick-or-treating, and we were way too old to be trick-or-treating, but we still dressed up and did it. And we made our way to this old guy's house, and rang the doorbell. He had his lights off, which is the universal symbol for don't ring the doorbell because I don't have shit for you. We rang anyways. This old guy comes to the door and he's like, "Hi, sonny, do you want something special?"
Oh boy.
Or however old people talk. And we're like, "Dude, yeah, totally." And he leaves into the darkness of his house. This is a true story, audience. This, Claudia, this really happened. And he comes back with a stack of vintage Playboy magazines.
Oh, wow. Dirty old man.
Dirty old man. These are from like the 1960s or 70s or whatever. Like, we're talking vintage, like straight up when Playboy used to be a gentleman's magazine and not just a skag rag. And he just gave us the stack. And these magazines are probably worth good. They were in good condition, but I was just like, old man, why are you giving this to me? And I told my parents, and they were quite upset. They were not happy.
That is amazing.
I feel like they probably filed a police report against this old man, and now he's probably dead. So,
yeah, holy cow, that's a good one. That is a good one. What about the second one?
The second one involves the Palindrome Jedi, who grew up in a household where Halloween wasn't encouraged. So she had never been trick-or-treating. So I took her trick-or-treating Halloween in 2007 for the first time. She dressed as Michael Myers. I dressed as Ghostface from Scream. And what I did is I put an engagement ring into a bag of M&Ms. And I strategically had it placed into her sack of candy. And then we sat on an abandoned house, and I pulled out the sack of M&Ms, and I said, "You should have some M&Ms right now." And she said, "No." She said, "No, thank you." She seriously said, "No, thank you." And I said, "You should really have some M&Ms." And she's like, "Why?" I'm like, "Just open the damn bag of M&Ms." And then the engagement ring popped out, and I got onto one knee and asked her to marry me. And that's how I'm betrothed to the Palindrome Jedi, is a Halloween story.
That is amazing. I just visualized the whole thing, and I love every minute of it. I just No, you really want some M&Ms. Trust me. No, I'm good. So I'm good. I'm full. No, seriously.
Trust me.
Take the damn M&Ms. No. Oh, my gosh. That's great. Well, that's a big congrats to you guys, even though it's been a while. And that's I don't think I ever heard that story. That's great. I love
that. Yeah, it's not one that we share upon the mountains, but it was unique, and it was how I proposed to my wife. So
I love that.
There it is.
Extra spooky, and that'll last a lifetime for sure. So, gentlemen, I want to take us on another quick side quest before we get to our first segment. Really quick lightning round. What was your favorite kind of candy? Doesn't have to be specific, like Butterfinger, but like, were you guys more like the chocolates or the?
Are we talking about candy that you get on Halloween, or just candy in general?
Let's stick with the Halloween theme. What was something in your bag that you just had to rifle through and go and get first? Like, you just didn't even let it touch the bottom of your bag. Jeff, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so normally I don't like talking about food, but since this is Halloween related and it's part
we'll
of
give it a
this
pass.
Magical time of year, totally down for this question, totally in. So I was actually thinking about that today. I was like, my God. You know, what was the candy I wanted? Because I want to get some good candy for, because now we have a few kids around the neighborhood that will be stopping by. So I want to get some good candy. I like, you know, the American stuff, like Twix. You know, you can't go wrong with Twix and like a Milky Way. I think those are my two, or no, Three Musketeers, not Milky Way. I think if I get a Twix or a Three Musketeer, I'm good.
All right. Good options. Justin, what about you?
I am a peanut butter boy at heart, so I can do no wrong with a Butterfinger or a Reese's. Those were always my...
With the Reese's, just real quick. It's more of a story.
Go for it.
I think he already knows.
So yeah,
last
yeah.
night we saw Megazord, a.k.a. Tom, do stand-up. he was the MC. Shout out to the Comedy Shrine at Fox Valley and Tommy. And it was great. And it was apparently a costume party. Or like, you know, the audience dresses in costumes, and so did the comics. So Justin, who dressed up?
There was four people total in the audience. And there was three prizes to be had. So I tested out my President Loki costume. Palindrome Jedi was in her Thor Ragnarok Loki. I forget which, or Avengers. I forget. She's got a very specific Loki that she was. And we unfortunately won first prize.
But the second prize was what they wanted. Well, at least Justin eyeballed at the moment Tommy said what it was. And it was just a pumpkin trick or treat little box just full of Reese's, but they won first prize, so they got all these like gift cards and like a really great prize. And all he wanted was the Reese's.
Oh my God. Well, that's a great prize too. The first place, but oh yeah, I would totally be in the same boat. I love Reese's. Oh my God.
What am I gonna do with a gift card to Hot Topic? I know
Swag. I don't know.
You can
know what I'm gonna do with a bucket full of Reese's. I know where that's going. I'm gonna make poop with it.
Well, Hot Topic. You could Halloween costume for next year. You can just go back to 2006 and go full emo. I think they still got all the clothes there. Shout out to
Wow.
all the people out there. We just lost all of our listener base. Everybody just signed off.
Yeah,
Sorry, Hot
goodbye.
Topic fans. Awesome. Well, let's jump straight into our first segment. I want to talk some death battle.
Get over here. Finish him. Flawless victory.
Flawless victory indeed. And will it be, though? Tonight, we're keeping things spooky, Halloween themed. And I wanted to know, death battle wise, who would win? We're thinking like classic universal monsters. So the Dracula or the vampire versus the werewolf. So two very iconic characters.
So I'll take over a little bit on this part because it's always been debated. Is vampire stronger than a werewolf, or is werewolf stronger than vampire? I think it's like in movies. It's definitely the big point in Underworld was the vampires and the lycans and stuff. So, I don't know. Should we base it off movies or just your any type of vampire versus any type of werewolf?
I'm thinking just kind of the classics, just a man turns into a werewolf and the bat man, the bat turns into a vampire or vice versa. And it's very basic without all the extra stuff is my vote. I'll vote.
Unfortunately, well, that one's pretty easy because they in the original Universal Monster movies, it's implied and it's shown on screen that Dracula just kind of controls the werewolf man. There's a couple movies where he just completely has full control over him, and he kind of turns into a who's Dracula's like guy in Bram Stoker's Dracula, where he has like committed and he's eating bugs and stuff. Renfield. Yeah, so the Wolfman kind of becomes like Dracula's Renfield. And again, he can only turn into a wolf on a full moon. And Dracula like beats the shit out of him like constantly. So I think in Universal film, it's pretty much a KO for the werewolf man.
Werewolf boy. I mean, I don't know. I feel like vampires in general are just, I don't know what it is about them. I get it. They're like semi undead. They can't be killed unless it's what, like a silver stake through the heart is like their MO for what can defeat them.
Depends on who's writing, yeah.
I
Yeah,
mean,
just kind of you kind of confused both mythologies there, but
oh
let's just
yeah,
roll with it.
all the above. So they're
Over with the vampire and
the onions or the garlic or whatever the fuck they do. But I would just say straight up, like one man is a vampire, classic vampire versus one guy's a werewolf. I feel like the werewolf's just got some classic rage to him, and he would just kind of claw the ever living shit out of a vampire. Even though the vampire could like turn to a bat and fly away, I just feel like the werewolf is just super powerful and full of rage and would just tear a vampire in half and find new ways to kill him. I don't know. That's my classic vote on that one.
Justin.
So I'm going to agree with you both and disagree with you both. What I mean is, I agree with Eric. If you have toe-to-toe a full moon and you've got a werewolf and a vampire and they're on some beach in Southern California where they're alone and they're just whacking at each other, it's no escape. It's just battle to the death. I think the werewolf wins. But I agree with Jeff in that if you're playing the long game and you're thinking battle over time, the vampire has the upper hand.
Yeah,
So, go ahead.
no, go ahead.
I was just going to say, because the perks of being a vampire outweigh the perks of being a werewolf. And if it's moon based, I mean, come on, the vampire, you're just a scrawny human. Like, the vampire's still a fucking vampire. He's still.
What if it's like, I was thinking, what if it's the Twilight rules? Like those guys, they're able to change into a werewolf at any time, right? Like moon or no moon, right? So
So,
what if they
for
had
some
that?
reason, I know a lot about the stupid Twilight movies because it's a guilty
Not
pleasure of mine.
time. I was gonna say not for some reason because your dumb ass has watched them all multiple times. So it's
Multiple
not for
times. It
some
is a
random
guilty
movie.
pleasure. I've read lore about it. So, yeah, so if in
It's a
Twilight,
bunch
I
of
mean,
oopsies.
every illustration of, a vampire and a werewolf depends on who's writing them. Same with like Marvel Comics. I mean, Spider-Man can do certain things depending on who's writing him. I mean, the base stuff is there, but in Twilight, like, the vampires are extremely difficult to kill. The only way to kill them is by having like three other vampires rip them apart and burn them. The werewolves in Twilight, they're not werewolves, they're actually shapeshifters, they're like Indians. And it takes like multiple of those to kill one of the Twilight vampires. The Twilight vampires are ridiculously powerful in terms of like vampire lore. They're super fast, they don't sleep, it's almost impossible to kill them. They're extremely hard to die. And they pulverize those wolves unless there's like a pack of the wolves. Now, in the lore and in the books, which they don't talk about in the movie, they do mention the Children of the Night, which are their more werewolf type, what you're used to werewolf. They kind of stand more, on two legs and they're huge. And those, it takes a few of the Twilight vampires to actually take one of those bad boys full moon, and if they're like bloodlusted. Because I think like one of the super, there's like the Volturi who are, in charge of all the vampires in that world. Even they're scared of the Children of the Night. So it really depends on what lore you're talking about. Or you could just go into anime and take Alucard, who's a vampire who's basically just a god, and he's. You just can't kill him, and nothing can kill him. So it all depends. This is like always a huge debate, like what's stronger? And I think it just comes down to what vampire or werewolf and who's writing it, like which one are you pitting against each other? Because pitting Alucard versus basically any other werewolf, he's going to destroy him. But pitting Dracula against a lycan in Underworld, the lycan's going to destroy Dracula.
But what if he flies away and they can't jump up and catch him?
He just flies away. Well, the Dracula in the original Dracula, he doesn't just instantly change. It takes him a few seconds. You see it in the shadows as he changes. The lycans are super fat and they just grab him, rip him apart before he could even change and fly away.
Doesn't Dracula have to sleep, though? Like, he always comes out of a coffin, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's the other thing. Some vampires sleep. Like the Twilight ones, they don't have to sleep. But yeah, Dracula has to sleep. The other really powerful vampires is one of my favorite, and I hope Becky's listening because I know she's definitely read Anne Rice and Interview with the Vampire. And I just finished reading The Vampire Lestat, which is, have you guys seen Interview with the Vampire?
Oh God, a long time ago, yeah.
With Brad Pitt and
Yeah,
Tom Cruise
Kirsten
and
Dunst, yeah.
Kirsten Dunst. Great movie.
Keanu Reeves.
Oh yeah. Holy shit.
The old Dracula movie. The Vampire Lestat is the book about Tom Cruise's character, and in that series, he becomes ungodly powerful, and he's extremely hard to kill. Even in the Interview with the Vampire, they burn him and stuff, but he didn't die. So those vampire Anne Rice's vampires are extremely powerful. It just again. There's so much different vampire werewolf lore. I'm going to take it on a little side quest and ask, who's your favorite vampire in fiction?
Oh God. Justin, I'll let you answer first. I got to think about it.
Of course. So I'm going to fact check myself really quickly.
There's been so many.
There are a lot.
Jeff, why don't start with yours while me and Justin do a little deep dig internally.
I mean, it's down to two, and I can never pick one or the other. The first is Celine from Underworld because, I mean, when we were younger, Kate Beckinsale in full-on latex, I mean, Jesus. and she's just a really cool vampire. And then Alucard from Helsing, which is an anime. If you haven't seen Helsing, it's like a short anime series. It's not a full, 200 episodes. I'd highly recommend watching it.
Ooh, yeah.
He's very cool.
Spooky. Oh, there's the coffin. Ooh. The coffin's opening. Boo.
There it goes. Okay, so I'll jump in and say what Rudyard Kipling did with his lady vampire back in like the early 1900s was pretty impressive, because he laid a lot of the groundwork for what modern cinema took from vampire lore into kind of the femme fatale version of the vampirist.
Wow.
So, yeah, he wrote The Jungle Book. So props on him. I remember Kipling's version of vampire lore to be very interesting.
I'm gonna cater to the not so informed crowd out there and go with one answer that's kind of a half answer, but Blade. I know he's only like half vampire, which
still a vampire, though.
Wesley Snipes was a really kick-ass vampire, and he made it look cool. So shout out to him. And then, I'll admit it, I'm a grown-ass man, but I enjoyed Hotel Transylvania with Adam Sandler. It's funny, and so he's a good vampire too, but mostly Blade. Shout out to all the 10-year-olds that are listening. Don't say the swear words we say.
Don't say the P word. So, okay, side quest. So I posed this earlier, and let's dive into it right now. Would you rather be a vampire hunter or a vampire?
That's a good question, because I feel like I would need a taste of both to know which one, but without knowing much about it, I feel like vampire hunter would be more fun. I feel like when you are a vampire, you already got like the abilities and the powers and the skills, and like you live forever basically as a vampire.
Something else kills you.
Unless you get
like
killed.
A hunter.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like hunting a vampire would be really fun, and you'd have to use a lot of strategy and skill. And I mean, if I'm a vampire, I'm just kind of like, I don't know, killing people and sucking blood, which I don't like mosquitoes. So, you know, so okay. That's my answer. Jeff, what about you?
You know, it depends on like what vampire I'm turning into. Like if we're turning into like Bram Stoker's Dracula or, you know, Nosferatu, I'd probably go with a vampire hunter, because those vampires are extremely easy to kill if you know what you're doing. If you start getting into like Twilight territory and Helsing, there's really no human can really do anything to you. So it'd be way more fun. And in Helsing, that's what they do. The Helsing Corporation, which was, you know, from Van Helsing, basically has to have Alucard there to kill these other vampires, because they just cannot do it. Because there's just no way a normal human hunter can kill some of these, like, godly creatures. So, again, it depends on which one. The Twilight ones are extremely powerful. I don't even... in the book, it's said that, like, 10 of them could take out an army. So, they're pretty damn powerful. And it would be cooler to be powerful than just a hunter that could get wrecked pretty quickly.
Get so wrecked.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, Justin, what about you?
I feel like I agree with you, Eric. I think that it would just be cooler to be a hunter. Yeah. Like, I think the vampire is... It's like Jeff says, depending on the mythology that you're going off of, vampire is more passive. He's got his castle, and it's just like, oh, I want to suck your blood. Oh, and like, okay, so there you go. The hunter, I'm picturing more like Blade level, Ryan Reynolds and Patton Oswalt, which for some reason was in one of the Blade movies, hunting down Triple H, who was also for some reason in one of the Blade movies.
And the dog.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, but I mean, speaking of dog, I feel like Dog the Bounty Hunter would be a great vampire hunter.
Oh yeah, for sure. He's like 110 years old already.
He died very quickly.
Well, he couldn't find Old Top over in the Florida wilderness. So
very true. He's out of work once again. So shout out to him because he's probably listening right now. all right, let's move back into a main quest. I got some fun stuff we're going to talk about, which is, again, there's a million different variations, but I want to know for you guys personally, because all of our opinions are different, is what do you think makes for a really good scary movie? Like, obviously, there's a lot of different genres and things. Like, some of you guys might love gore a little bit more. You might like the kind of scary mystery thriller, almost like a Ring style, like what's happening and spooky stuff's happening. So there's no wrong answer, not a contest. Justin, I want to start with you. What do you think makes for a really good scary movie in your bucket?
In my bucket, I've got the realistic. For me, it's a movie like The Strangers. It's a movie like Scream that you can really practically put in a sense of like, this could actually happen. And there's no deep mythology where it's like Jason Voorhees is actually a zombie who can do this now, and now he can survive, like, and Michael Myers can be shot in the head, but it's cool. No, I mean, you take a movie like The Strangers, and it's just it's literally based on the premise of Brian Bertino's experience living in rural Texas of somebody knocking on his door late one night asking for a woman. And so, like, he just freaked him out and he wrote The Strangers, which I think is one of the greatest horror movies ever made. So yeah, I like the real, tangible, practical, scary, like, screw the Hostel scaries are funny, but they're not worth watching. You know, you get into some of the more paranormal stuff that, like, Blumhouse is doing, and it's just kind of like, yeah, but is that real? Like, if you compare it to, like, an Event Horizon kind of a movie where it's like, yeah, but that's not real. So that doesn't scare me.
Well, yeah. Event Horizon is, you know, the beginning of Warhammer 40,000. Which is a great, great theory online if anyone wants to go down a rabbit hole one night.
Jeff, what makes a good scary movie for you?
Yeah, so I'm a little different than Justin. I like Scream. I like, you know, The Strangers, those Texas Chainsaw, the great movies, very scary. But to me, it's more, there's got to be some sort of supernatural element to it, even if it's small, even like with, you know, the Halloween movies, it's there, but it's not, you know, it's not the main focus. But those long drawn out scenes, and I believe like the late 70s and early 80s is when like horror was at its best. I mean, Halloween, I feel, for the horror is like a masterpiece. It's a very slow burn of a movie. It's not fast. It's not a lot of screaming and running. I mean, there is, but not as much as you think. And, you know, Michael Myers is this almost ghostly entity that just keeps coming back and back and back, and they don't see him. There's that scene where, you know, she finds her friends dead, and she's like leaned up against the wall. She stands up, and then you see like his face for a second, and the music comes on, which is very the whole thing is just creepy and not, it's unsettling. The long pans of the camera at the school, it goes left, you don't see it, you see him, then it goes back around right, and then he's gone. And that whole scene is like a minute and a half long. So I like those. Recently, I like A24, what they're doing. They're kind of changing things up a bit. Like Hereditary that's pretty disturbing to watch. And the ending is very kind of fucked up. Same with like Midsommar, The Witch. These kind of, there's, you know, those are more like demon type possession stuff, but not like The Exorcist or anything. Very different way. So I feel there's got to be some sort of supernatural thing going on that just kind of makes it creepier to me, and just more of a slower pace where it's kind of just creeping and making you feel unsettled the whole movie. Where, you know, Jason Friday 13th is a great movie, but you're not really unsettled. It almost turns into a joke at some point. But yeah, I'd say that's what makes a good scary movie. Alien, the original Alien, was really good at that as
So,
well.
Jeff, have you seen 2009's The House of the Devil?
No.
It's Ty West at his best. Rhyme meant for laughter. Check out it's so we still got a couple of days in October. It's again, it's from 2009. It lifts everything that you just said from a horror movie and puts it into a modern story, but it takes place in the 80s. So you got these long lingering shots of like this babysitter, like there's a point where she's like she goes to call somebody on a payphone and then she walks away and then the phone rings back and she walks back. And so you're talking like 60 to 80 seconds of a lingering shot of just tension.
Yeah, I'm looking at photos. It looks awesome. I love also the grainy feeling of the old cameras.
Yeah, check that out. It's a great movie.
Like the shitty camera, if it's so high def, it can ruin things. And using CGI is just a death sentence to any
Right.
horror film.
Agreed.
But that grainy old, you know, that's why I love like puppets in the original Alien, there was no CGI in that movie. The alien, at least parts that you see and stuff, it's all puppeteering and stuff, and that's what makes it hold up, and that's what makes it terrifying. You just can't do CGI in a fucking horror film. It ruins it. Am I the only one who feels that way?
It's got to
So
be
I just
good
oh Eric.
CGI.
Yeah, Eric, go
Sorry,
ahead.
I just had to jump in there. It's got to be good CGI and like used artistically, as opposed to like let's call it fucking what's that Will Smith movie where it's just so terrible? I Am Legend, where it was
I
just
was going
like
to say any
so blatantly
Will
bad.
Smith.
Yeah, that too. But yeah, it's got to be good CGI and used tastefully and like actually not shit.
There was one, Eric, I don't know if you remember, we went and saw that movie with Michael Keaton called White Noise.
Oh,
I'll never
God.
and it was almost the same moment when you had with Pirates 3, where they looked at each other and you turned to me and went D minus.
It's just so bad.
That's how Eric reviews movies, everyone. It's either a D minus, it's D's or D minus.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And I remember at the first like probably half hour or first hour, it was creepy. Because it was just about noise and it's creepy and you can't see anything, and then the first ghost appears.
So
And I'll
bad.
never forget looking at you, Eric, and be like, what the fuck is that? Oh, and then it was just that was it. The movie was just D minus.
Got
It's
so
like
bad.
that's you ruined it. Why did you put that in there?
Takes you out of it. We're doing for Back in Time, our last movie of the month, which will come out probably the same day that this episode drops, is Robert Rodriguez's The Faculty.
Oh yeah.
It's a re just rewatched it, and they do a mix of CGI and puppeteering, but it makes a big difference when they have got their CGI going on. It's just like, oh, pulls you out of the movie. But when they got their practical effects, like when Jon Stewart gets his hand chopped off,
Yep.
it looks a whole lot better.
And it helps when you got like good actors in the movie too that actually like give a believable like asshole teacher performance, especially what's his name from Terminator, who's
Robert Patrick.
yeah, just yeah, that's a good classic movie. And Justin, I gotta agree with you. Same with like my movies that I like that are scary. It's got to be realistic. Like if I could put myself there, if it's like real life events, the more realistic, the better for me. Jeff, I know you're more towards that supernatural stuff, but for me, like, yeah, some of the stuff pulls me out of it. Like, hey, oh my gosh, we lost service. Okay, yeah, no shit. That's one of the tropes. But when it can happen and you could see yourself like in that situation, even something like The Ring, like that creeped the shit out of me way back in the day. And that was like probably one of my favorite scary movies for a long time besides Blair Witch, just because it was so kind of realistic and believable. I get it. The whole premise of, like, you watch a tape and 7 days later you die. Like, that's just not something another movie did to that specificity of it. Like, how the fuck would watching a tape make you die? Like, what was so bad about this tape that forced you to, like, kill yourself, or, like, someone comes and finds you and kills you? Like, it's just really creepy that somebody could put it together and come find you and kill you and, like, call you on the phone. Like, ugh, I don't like it.
Like, basically, like, a summoning ritual.
Yeah.
Like, put the tape in, and it was just like a...
Fuck like that. A video something. I still don't like it. I still don't like it. Oh, my gosh. Well, now I'm getting too spooky. I need to take us away from this and jump into our second segment here, which is some retro gaming.
Let's go.
All right, retro game of the week, keeping it spooky, Halloween themed. I know we've all played this game, and we definitely talked about it a little bit on the podcast before, but Doom from 1993, the original Doom video game that was mostly just on the PC at that time. A really, really fun game. I remember playing it kind of in the dark in the basement, and back in those days when that was like the best graphics you had, it was actually pretty scary. Justin, I don't know about you growing up. Was that one of your go-to games?
Yeah, it was, but not till I was a little bit older. But it made a huge impact.
Yeah. Jeff, I know you over there. That family, that household was playing it.
I mean, quick shout-out to our sponsor, Microsoft Game Pass. You can actually, if you have Game Pass on your computer or Xbox, all the Dooms are available right now. You can download every single one.
Mm.
It's incredible. Even the newest one that just came out. But, I remember playing Doom with my older brother. I mean, that's how I used to play video games. I had to, like, do it with him, or I'd break the computer or whatever. but, yeah, I mean, Doom is, like... It's like part of gaming history.
Yeah.
It's an important game in terms of like gaming as an industry as a whole. It's one of those, you know, there's a few of the important games that kind of launched gaming the way it is now, and Doom is one of those. So if you didn't play it and you were around when it was out, you're an idiot.
Yeah, you're a dummy. Yeah, it's definitely one of those first-person shooters that were out there that I recall playing. Like, that was not a known thing. You had, like, Chip's Challenge, and then you had, like, what the fuck? This is Doom. This is a first-person shooter.
It was that first type of horror game, first-person. You had Mario, which was the first, like, platforming. You had Zelda, which was the first kind of, like, real in-depth RPG. I mean, those games, like, revolutionized gaming.
And they got some, I mean, it was a pretty, you know, rated mature game for 1993. I mean, this was kind of before the whole...
blowing demons' heads off.
Rating system. Yeah, you walk around with a chainsaw, with a giant, the BFG, the big fucking gun, as they call it. Like, you are chopping people up, killing people, and it's not a very inviting atmosphere. I don't know where that planet was, but I don't like it. It just made you really uncomfortable and just, like... You hear, like, even the sound effects of the game were really first of its kind. Like, you would hear a demon just slowly grunting or something in the corner. Then you open the door and it gets louder, and like, they're all there in the dark just throwing huge fireballs at you, and you're like, oh, fuck. Ugh. No.
Yes, for the people who don't know the lore behind Doom, Claudia, and there are some other people, gamers out there, but so Doom's basically set... on Mars. That's the planet they're on, Eric. They're on Mars.
Ugh.
Well, that's where it originally started, and then it kind of comes around. But scientists have found a way to teleport people, so they can teleport them from Earth to Mars, and they're, you know, kind of a little event horizon kind of put in there. And of course, teleporting, they're using some weird fucking stones, and obviously, in order to teleport them, they're basically teleporting them through a hell dimension. And the teleporter on Mars gets stuck open, and all these horrible, horrible things come out of it and just kind of destroys the station. So they send in who they call Doom Guy. He doesn't have a name. He's just called Doom Guy. And he's like Master Chief, but instead of having a backstory or anything, he's just Doom Guy. And he goes in there and he, you know, cleans up the place, and then the games just take off from there, where this technology is being used, people don't understand it, and then they open portals to hell. But Doom Guy in it is so badass, is so insane, that when he goes to hell to kill these primal demons, they're actually so terrified of him. When they finally do subdue him, they have to lock him away, put him in like this coffin, chain him up, because if he gets out, he's going just to destroy hell. That's how like awesome of a character Doom Guy is. He's so terrifying that he terrifies the whole like hell like dimension. So it's just the lore in the game is very cool, and you're just this kind of unstoppable juggernaut dude called Doom Guy fucking up demons.
Yeah, and I feel like it's one of those franchises that throughout time they found ways to keep the game still relevant. I know it's a lot of games from like the late 80s, early 90s, they try to come back or they try to make new ones, and they just kind of like die. Like, nobody wants a fucking Paperboy game anymore, even though I love the original. But like, Doom has found a way to just like, with the graphics, the latest technology, like they keep making bigger, badder monsters and more exciting guns. And it's just like, I feel like for the next, I don't know, 20, 30 years, they're going to keep coming out with a new game every 3 to 5 years and just like slap a new sticker on, and people will still get excited about it. So like you said, Jeff, it kind of started a big thing of its in and of itself, but also for a lot of other games out there in the world. And yeah, good little shout out right there, huh? Huh? Don't get too spooked. Last main quest I want to take us on, and this one's impromptu. I know we typically have a few we think of before the show, but I want to know from you guys, as we close things out here on this very special 2021 Halloween episode, is what are you guys looking forward to most this Halloween? You know, we've got the whole weekend coming up, and there's a lot of fun things happening. In this day and age, what are you guys most excited about? So, Jeff, I'm going to toss that one over to you.
I mean, our matching Loki costumes is pretty badass. So it'll be fun to see us all, you know, dressed, ready to take over the world, because that's literally what we have to do if we're gonna dress up as Lokis. You know, that and just having a big old bonfire during the fall weather with all the decorations out. I mean, it's kind of a mix of both of that.
All right, love it. Justin, what about you?
Yeah, I obviously agree 100% with everything that Jeff just said. It's going to be a great weekend. I think that at least where we are in Illinois, it's going to be very different from last Halloween, which we were much more contained and quarantined and couldn't go out and do stuff or experience life. So I think that's kind of going to be like a nice little bonus, is to be out in the world and see other people's costumes and interact with people and interact with alcohol.
Yes, one of the key ingredients to a spooky good time. I agree with you guys both. Absolutely. I'm just going to add on to that. I mean, it's great that we all get to hang out and do the Loki costumes, and I'll be Mobius. And so we'll definitely post pictures for everybody out there so you can see it, because pics or it didn't happen. And this year, I think it's the first year since I've moved into this house where we're actually going to be home and on time for Halloween. Like, normally we're out and about with our nephews or nieces or just like elsewhere. And because trick-or-treating is only 3 to 7, like by the time we get home from work, it's like 6 o'clock. So I just always leave the fucking bowl out, feel like an asshole, but it's like, hey, here, take one, whatever you want. So by the time I get home, like, it's already done and over with. So now on a Sunday, we'll actually be able to like be at home and actually hand out candy and like see kids' costumes and get a little bit more excited. And then like maybe start a bonfire or hang out with neighbors a little bit. So some things that we haven't been able to do, but it'll be good to kick things off, you know, of course, with you guys and going out and seeing people and dressing up and just having a dumb, goofy old time with alcohol, obviously. So, gentlemen, I want to give us a free promo Friday. We've given a lot of other folks so far on this 2.0 of the SideQuest podcast, and I wanted to take a moment to shout ourselves out and let everybody know you can find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. Please go out there, Give us a like, subscribe to us. We appreciate all the listens and follows and feedback so far. We love that you guys love this 2.0. We're going to keep adding new segments and have new main quests every single week. So stick it out with us and have a good time. And besides that, gentlemen, how shall we end our very spooky Halloween episode?
Well, I did my weird last time Batman voice, so...
How about
I don't know. One of you gonna do a howl and the other one does a vampire?
How about how about Justin and I are duking it out as a vampire and a werewolf?
Battle. It's a vampire versus werewolf. Eric seemed to be really inclined with werewolves, so Eric can be the werewolf, Justin you be the vampire, and then fighting starting go.
Oh. Oh, I'm going to suck your blood. Oh, bat noise.